So I'm just going to start by saying that I am a crier. So I'm just going to warn you guys, I'm probably going to cry. I've never shared my testimony without shedding some tears. So grace would be awesome, and patience if you guys would do that for me. So I would just like to start from the beginning. Well, actually, just kidding. I'm really nervous, and I would like to pray if that's okay with you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for the opportunity to be up here and to share my story with my home church. It's such an exciting moment for me to hopefully just make you known more. And I pray for those who are here, if they know you, God, that they would be encouraged by my story. And if they don't know you, that they would be encouraged to follow you. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so I didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't come from a huge church background. I don't think I really went when I was younger. I didn't come from the knowledge base that a lot of you guys might have. When I was younger, my parents got a divorce, and that was really hard on me. It's kind of hard to have your family be torn apart, and it wasn't a friendly divorce either. We had a really bitter custody battle, and so entering high school, I was in a lot of turmoil, didn't feel secure. There was no peace in my life, and I was just kind of living. Well, I was technically dead, but you know what I mean. And so I loved to run, though. So I did cross country in my sophomore year of high school. John and Stacy Girard, they came up, and we prayed over them as a church. They were my high school cross country coaches. And here's why I start to cry. Sorry, guys. It's already starting. They were so different than anything I had seen. They had peace in their life. Their marriage was nothing that I had ever seen. They had genuine love and joy, and it was so foreign to me. And I remember looking at them and thinking, like, wow, I want what they have, and I don't know how to get it. And I didn't realize that in seeking these things out, I thought I was looking for something, but it was actually God pursuing me. And so luckily for me, they're very persistent people, and they relentlessly invited me to youth group here at this church, which is really cool. And I came. I went one night. I cracked after excuse, and I'd always tell them no, but for some reason, one night I decided I would go. And the first night I was there, I'm so sorry, you guys. The Bibles that you guys have under your chairs, I'd never owned one. And so John, I remember he reached under the chair and was like, hey, do you have a Bible? And I was like, no. And so they gave me one, and that was the first Bible I'd ever owned. And interestingly enough, I was a giant English nerd, and so I took it home and actually read it. John had told me, if you want to start reading this Bible, I would start in Matthew. And so that's where I started. I started reading the gospel, and that was so amazing because it was God telling me his story, like him sharing me what his son had done. And so through that, I saw that Christ had lived a perfect life, that I'm sinful, but that he died for my sins, and if I would believe that he would give me new life. And so that's where I began to transform. I don't have, some of you guys have like a one moment kind of thing where you remember trusting Christ, but mine was a growing understanding of who Christ was and what he had done for me. And so after I accepted Christ, it hasn't always been a perfect journey. There are things in my life that he is revealing to me constantly and forcing me to look at. One of those things, I'd been praying and praying about what God kind of wanted me to share. And one of those things I felt led to focus on was insecurity. And it's hard to talk about because no one likes to say they're insecure. But I've always had a struggle with the way people view me, the way I view myself, and the way that I feel God views me. And even three nights ago, I was laying in bed awake. I don't know why, but I had this like existential crisis of, does God actually love me? And I couldn't fall asleep. And usually when like the wave of insecurity hits me, I usually just like curl up into a little ball and wish it'll go away, and then eventually it'll go away and I feel better. But I felt God like shove me out of bed, and he was like, no, you're going to wrestle with this. So I wrote a list down of, I started with truth. Okay, so what do I know truth is? Well, truth is that he loves me more than I can imagine. He sent his son to die for me, and it wasn't any merit on my own, and because of that, I have life, and it was all for his glory. So I started there, and those are truths. And so if he loves me based on no merit, like how much bigger love is that than we could have thought, right? Like I didn't do anything to earn his love. I couldn't have done anything to earn his love, and yet he still loves me. So after I wrote this list down, and I was just sitting there like, wow, like how can I feel insecure about myself at all when I have this God who would love me enough to send Christ to save me? And how could I question that he loves me when I haven't done anything to earn it and he's still done all of this? So I kind of wanted to end for you guys. He loves you the same way. He sent his son for each and every single one of you guys. And it wasn't based on anything that you've done, that you will do, or that you can do. Because on our own, we're not good enough. But through Christ, we are. So I just want to encourage you guys to trust in the one who's always loved you. He's always loved you first, and he'll always love you guys. So thank you for bearing with my tears. You guys have been great.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's celebrate, shall we? Let's celebrate what Christ has done and is doing among us through the gospel. And we're going to do that through communion. What the Lord's Supper is a time where we remember Christ. Really, the entire point of the first Advent was what we're remembering. We're remembering that Christ came to bear our sins on his own shoulders, die on the cross for our sins, and triumphantly be victorious over the grave. And so we're going to spend some time remembering. Okay, you don't have to be a member to do this, and just the practicals here, you just come and grab it, take it back to your seat, take it when you want in a worshipful, remembering way. We're going to do it together, but it's an individual thing as well. You don't have to be a member of Ridgeview Bible Church, but we do ask that you, the elders, we ask that you be a believer who is seriously walking with Christ, that you're sincere in your faith in Christ. And we'll do that in a few moments after I pray. And we have elements in the front and the back. But let me read a passage of Scripture to you. This comes from 1 Corinthians. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Father, how incredible it is that we hear stories like Nikki's, and stories like those 27 people we read in Romans, and our own stories that we see. And it is all because of Christ. You gave your life for us, Christ. You died on the cross for us, Jesus. You are so good, and we are so grateful. And now we do this in remembrance of you. Father, thank you for the grace that we have in Jesus. Amen.